continue our series that I opened a few weeks ago on spiritual warfare this morning. If you would turn with me to Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. We are going to continue to talk about the idea of fasting as spiritual warfare. Remember last week we looked at the entirety of Isaiah 58, which talked a lot about fasting and the results of that. This week the Lord led me to add this scripture in Joel to that before we move on to the next point. So I'm going to obey God. How about that? So this morning we're going to look into Joel. This was not originally my plan. God knows what he's doing a lot better than I do. So I'm just going to let him be God. Isaiah 2, beginning to read in verse 12. I'm sorry, Joel 2, 12 through 17. Thank you. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you watch over us, everyone, that you watch over the body of believers that gathers together. We praise you for directing us today, Lord. I thank you for directing me to this passage to add to the original message. And we just pray that you will watch over your word to perform it today, that you will put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak what you have indeed ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So our passage starts out, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. God's call for us to come back to him. Every person on this earth, that call goes out to every person on this earth. And that is exactly what revival is. It's why I absolutely believe the outpouring of God's Spirit is real, that begun in Asbury and has begun to spread. It is because there is evidence of the fact that God's love is being poured out on people and conviction, and people are being driven to their knees in repentance before a holy God. People are repenting and weeping before God. It's what we see here as we read this passage. So I believe this is a real outpouring. Why am I stressing that? Because over the years there have been a number of what was called revival or outpourings that were not for real. Alright? You understand what I'm talking about. It was not real. And also we were talking about it down in my office today when the leadership was about to pray. And Pastor Jim referenced the fact that there have also been many times where authentic revivals were poured out, but they always end at some point. And where it goes awry is when man, in man's strength, continues to keep it going. Then it goes awry. So we don't want to be caught up in that either. Want to be in the middle, part of an authentic revival, because an authentic revival causes people to get a revelation, a fresh revelation of God's love, and the fact that we are sinners and need a Savior, and it drives us to repentance. That is authentic revival. Okay? So, even now, declares the Lord, return to me. Return to me. Now you understand, that goes out to everyone, not only the ones who are not born again at all, but that goes out to every one of us, because let's face it, we are sinners saved by grace, and all of us have things that we're still struggling with. Can I get a witness this morning? Things that really confirm what God's Word says in Romans 3:23, which says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So He calls us to repent of the things that we've allowed to linger in our lives that are displeasing to God. Am I making sense to you? So this call to return with all our heart, not some of it. See, we have a tendency to give a fraction of our heart, especially to people. Why? Because we've been hurt. Giving yourself over to someone, there's risk involved, because when you do that, you can get hurt very deeply. Am I making sense? And because of that, we tend to hesitate to trust God fully and fully give ourselves over to Him. But God says, give me all your heart. I don't want just some of it. I want all of you. See, God has provided a salvation that is free because Jesus Christ paid the whole price for our salvation. Isn't that true? But we have a responsibility to continue to grow in Him. Once we are born again, we have a responsibility to stay close to Christ, walking in the power of the Spirit, and continue to grow in Him. So, He says, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. If you've been around here for a while, you've heard me say that if there is not brokenness that accompanies repentance, that repentance is not real. How many of you remember? Raise your hand if you've heard me say that. I've said that many times over the years because it's absolutely true. Repentance is not real unless there's true brokenness. And we see, that's why we see this right here in Joel, to return to Him with fasting and weeping and mourning. And then the prophet Joel goes on to say, and under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he says, rend your heart and not your garments. To understand what he is talking about there, we have to look back at what was going on, what was common in history back when this was written. What he is talking about is people, when they were distraught, were grieving, maybe had a tragedy where a loved one was killed or passed away or any kind of tragedy, it was common for them to tear their clothes as an outward sign that they were grieved, that they were mourning, and also to go and sit on an ash heap. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say ash heap? There were ash heaps from ash of burning things, okay? And so there were ash heaps. I remember when I was a little boy, we had ash heaps because when I was a little boy, we lived in an old farmhouse that had a coal furnace. Okay? And it didn't even have a blower on it. Everything went up through the registers because heat rises and the furnace was in the basement. Anyway, we had an ash heap. So and we had lunkers. How many of you remember that term? You're old enough to remember. We had coal lunkers that we took out and threw on the ash heap. And then every so often we had to get rid of the pile. But here's what they did. They would tear their garments and they would go as an outward sign of how grieved they were and sit on an ash heap, and they would take pottery, broken pottery that would also be thrown in the ash heap, and they would scoop it up and dump ashes over their heads and down themselves, and as an outward sign of how distraught they were. Okay? So now you know the history of what's being talked about here. He said, rend your heart and not your garments. See, God is concerned about the condition of our heart. He's not real concerned about what's done on the outside. He cares about what's on the inside. He said, rend your heart, not your garment. Be broken and be humble before me, is what he's saying. He said, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. You know, guys, that sounds like a pretty good God. I'm thankful he's patient. How about you? Are you like me? Do you still blow it sometimes? And then I find myself crawling back to God just saying, oh, here I am again. Here I am repenting again. I got stupid. Copped an attitude again. Most of the time, that's what it is. I catch an attitude. It's tough. People push the buttons in the right sequence. You know, even if the people that I'm feeling that way don't know because I didn't express it on the outside, God knows about my attitude. And he talks to us about our heart. So, rend your hearts, not your garments. Don't go find an ash heap and pour ash over you. Rend your heart, because our God is who the Word says he is. He is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger. And he is abounding in love. That's the kind of God I want to serve. How about you? I had an image of him when I was a little boy. I grew up in church. I didn't get it. I didn't get born again, but I grew up in church. I grew up going to Sunday school. And it's not that they never talked about the love of God, but for some reason, the hellfire and brimstone preaching led me to believe that if I stepped off the line I was supposed to be on, that I was going to get hit with a lightning bolt. Did anybody else? Did you feel that way? I did. That's the way I felt. I'm not blaming the church for that. I'm not blaming the pastor for that. I'm just telling you that it was the image I had of God. And part of that might have been when you talk to, I was never told as a child one time that I was loved. And I've shared some of that with you. I didn't have the easiest time growing up. My dad was a very angry man. And I was the only boy. I had three sisters. And when he had a bad day, I was going to have a bad day. That's just the way I grew up. Could have been a lot worse, but it could have been a lot better. You understand what I'm saying? And so when I somehow missed it when they talked about a loving God until I was ready for that the night I got born again. When Pastor Jim Machen shared the love of God with me, at that point I was receptive to hear it. And my heart melted. My hard heart melted away. and I return to God. See, we all come from Him. And I returned to Him at 25 years old. And I returned to Him with weeping and mourning because I was so grieved and convicted for the things I had done in my life up to that point. Am I making sense to you? Return to the Lord your God. Says He relents from sending calamity. God does send calamity eventually, but it's a last resort. God's grace goes a long ways, but don't be mistaken. Grace does eventually wear thin, and the judgment of God comes. Amen?
Amen.
That message don't get preached enough anymore. Says, who knows? He may turn and have pity. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Again, we're still talking about fasting. We are also visiting, obviously, along with the fasting. Because in this passage, it's there, we had already talked about in this series, about repentance being important to spiritual warfare. We talked about that. But here we are, we're visiting again, combined with fasting. Supposed to be not just fasting, but fasting and prayer. And some of that prayer, obviously, probably needs to be some repentance. We need to go through our lives in a pattern of walking in repentance. Repentance is not and has not ever been a one-and-done thing. There are those that are not doctrinally sound that have taught that. Oh, if you repented once when you gave your life to Christ, you don't ever have to repent again. If you have been told that, you have been lied to. That is not true. We need to live a life of repentance. Because we are sinners and all fall short of the glory of God. Hopefully, as we grow in the Lord, more and more of the patterns of sin that we have begin to fall out of our life. That's the goal. But we all sin, fall short of the glory of God. You know, those ones that aren't premeditated. The ones that just creep in. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Call a sacred assembly. People assemble for all kinds of things all over the world. Most of the third world countries, they get their biggest crowds at what they call football games. Here, we call it soccer. I'm telling you straight. When I was in Costa Rica, you know, how many of you know Costa Rica? They are into soccer. Okay? They are into their football. Okay? Well, I preached down there. I was down there a couple of times and was at a church in Costa Rica. The name of the church is Casa del Banquet. Sanctuary holds 2,000 people. And I preached down there the two different mission trips. I went down there teaching pastors and also doing crusades. Long story short, it was pretty impressive, the size of that church. And it was right across the road from their soccer field. Big stadium. Who do you think had the biggest crowd? See, I was going somewhere with this. Yeah, you're right. The soccer field had the biggest crowd. But thank God we had the crowd that we did at church. Okay? But back to what we were said, call a secret assembly. People assemble for all kinds of things. But a sacred assembly is an assembly where people come together and in unity seek after God, consecrate themselves to the Lord, and seek after God. That is a sacred assembly. And my friends, we need to get back to the foundation in this nation of having a sacred assembly. A sacred assembly that is not worried about being seeker-friendly at the expense of preaching the true gospel. That kind of sacred assembly. The sacred assembly that gathers people together for the purpose of hearing the Word of God for what it says. Not a Melba Toast, watered-down version of the gospel. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It says, gather the people, verse 16. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children. Those nursing at the breast, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. In other words, from the priests down, from the pastors down, weep before God in repentance. We've got to get back to the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, guys. There are all kinds of things and all kinds of churchisms that we have. And if we're not careful, we can get so set in our ways that we lose our way and stray from the truth. How many of you have gone and seen the Jesus Revolution? How many of you? Okay, quite a few of you have. We did too. Brought back all kinds of memories, like Pastor Jim said when he announced about it. Brought back all kinds of memories from back in 68, 69, and really brought back memories that were pretty radical memories. I wasn't saved at that time, but I remember seeing the Jesus people and right here in Fulton. It was pretty cool. I was interested. I didn't get saved at that point, but it interested me because they were so radically different than what I was used to. Praying for their soap. Some of them looked like they needed some. But they loved God, man. It was obvious. We as a body of believers, and we, when I say we, the believers in this country, we have got to get back to the foundation of sharing the love of God. We get excited and we talk to people about this restaurant or that restaurant. It's got the awesome buffet or they have this or they have that. And we have no problem talking to people about that. We get excited at sporting events and sometimes act a fool. And don't even care that we're acting a fool. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And throwing things at the refs. Maybe some aspirin in your hand because you got a headache from yelling so much and end up throwing them out on the floor and telling the ref he needs them worse than you do. all kinds of things. That we put ourselves out there. We get excited. We get excited when a game is so close and it ends up tied and it goes into overtime. But if Pastor Wade is a little extra long-winded, probably going to have Pastor Pot Roast over lunch. Did you ever have anybody have Pastor Pot Roast? Pretty sure. Every once in a while, I like to get a zinger in there. Keeps things real. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord. I have been freshly ignited to pray specifically for a brokenness in me and in all of you. A brokenness. We need to, as we go through this life in Christ, be broken in different seasons in our life. Why? Because as time goes by between those times of brokenness, we naturally have a tendency for our hearts to start hardening again. Am I making sense to you? I'm trying to be as real as I know how and preach what God's put on my heart. We really do need to make sure our hearts stay pliable, that we are open to personal revival, that we are open to sharing with the people in our circle of influence, sharing the love of God. Are you excited about Jesus, or has the fire burned down to where the coals are only a glowing ember? If you pray, God will blow on those glowing embers and pile the wood on the fire again, if you will, if I can use that analogy. And the flames will come up tall again. See, if we don't share the love of God with the people in our circles of influence, how will they know? How will they know? How will they ever know that Jesus loves them? We don't know what they went through. I shared very quickly a little bit about what I grew up in, and it wasn't, there was a lot worse. I don't want you to think I had absolutely terrible parents, but it wasn't perfect. It was far from perfect. And a lot of people are growing up in situations and have gone through things that we have no idea. And they need to hear about the love of Jesus, a personal testimony, and let people know that we have a God that loves us and He will never leave us or forsake us. That even though these people forsook this person or those people forsook this person, our God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He loves us with a love that we have a hard time even wrapping our mind around. I know I do. Yeah. It still blows my mind when I think about the love of God. Because I was an idiot. And He reached out to me and He saved me. That blows my mind. So repentance and fasting, what we're looking at here, is key part. They are key parts of spiritual warfare. If God leads you to fast, there are many different kinds of fasting. If you're not familiar with fasting and the different facets of it, one of the most prolific authors I can name for you is Pastor Jensen Franklin, that has written plenty and preached plenty on fasting. He's done the most phenomenal job of breaking that down and helping people to understand. So I would encourage you to look into that. I think we still have a couple of books by him on fasting in our library here at the church you could check out, as a matter of fact. So now there'll be a flood headed for the library. Thumbs up for that. But yeah, I know there was at least a couple of those books down there in our library, and they are fabulous. God can lead you to fast anything. And I've shared before with you, my wife and I, and we're about due to do it again. I've been feeling an itch to do it again. We every so often do a media fast, where we just tune out all media. Last time we did it, we intended to go a month. That's kind of the norm of what we do. We got to the end of the month, and we decided to go another month, and we got to the end of that month and decided to go another month. We went 3 months without tuning into media. Now, you might say, well, why in the world would you do that? Because when we do that, that eliminates all of that noise, if I can call it that, in our lives, and we can listen to God. The time spending on devouring media, spending it before the Lord and listening to God. Listen, guys, we have to learn to hear God's voice and learn to want to listen. So that's one type of fast that I've done more of that than fasting food. I'm a foodie. Obviously, when God calls me to give up food, I do. I shared that with you last week. I fast when God calls me to fast. The media fast, I'm not sure God has ever totally led me to do that, but it's something that's very beneficial to me. I've never heard a booming voice of the Lord say, give up media for a month. I've never had that happen. But I'm just telling you, it has been a blessing over the years in those times that we do that, because again, it eliminates all that noise from media, all that stress, because let's face it, we're living in a crazy world, and our nation is full of propaganda. Have you figured that out yet? Raise your hand. Our nation is full of propaganda. Might as well have Hitler here. It's almost that bad. It's the same kind of propaganda. And I want to see truth prevail again. How about you? I want truth. So let them say, let the preachers say, spare your people, O Lord. I've been compelled the last few months to pray that for all of you. Spare your people, Lord. Heal your people, Lord. Deliver your people, Lord. Ignite your people, Lord, fresh. Prepare us for what's to come. It says, do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. God raised up this nation for specific purposes. This is and has been for over 200 years a very unique nation. There has never been one like it before, and there will never be another one like this nation again. You can either believe that or not believe it. But if we allow this nation to be dismantled, there will never be another one like it again. Why do you think it is people always try to get into this nation?
That's right.
But see, the sad thing is, then once they're here and have come from another nation, there's this tendency to want to change it. Not good. I don't want our nation to be a byword among the nations. How about it? Now, this obviously was talking about a different nation. But it relates to us, guys. Did you know that radical Islam, the Muslims, call Israel little Satan and they call us big Satan? They do. Now, that's not true. We're not the great Satan. Israel is not the little Satan, but that's what radical Islam calls us. Why is that? Because they've come to understand that up to this point, our nation has been a protector of Israel, and God help us if we're ever not. Because God has been real plain about that, that He will bless those who bless Israel, and He will curse those that are a curse to Israel. I don't want none of that. I want the blessing. I want to be on the side that is blessing Israel. So there again, we see in all of this that there, if you think about it this way, it's spiritual warfare to be a blessing to Israel. Because when you bless them, you'll be blessed. I believe that because of that in our nation, it's one of the reasons that our nation has been the most blessed nation on the earth. Because we have always blessed Israel. Now, there's a lot of people that are preaching a different message than this. But biblically, I can back all this up. Those that preach what is called replacement theology believe that Israel has been replaced by the church as the apple of God's eye. My friends, I'm here to tell you right now, that is not true. Israel is and always will be the apple of God's eye. And replacement theology is a lie. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. The church has not replaced Israel as the apple of His eye. We have been grafted in. That's the truth of it. Believers are grafted in. Okay? Why should they stay, last part of the last verse of this passage, why should they stay among the peoples? Where is their God? You know, there are people and nations that are saying that, have been saying that, right now, in this time frame. But now there's an outpouring of God, an authentic outpouring of God. I think we're going to see that they're going to recognize that our God is still here. He's not give up on us. He has not give up on us. But He has called us to fasting and prayer, to repentance. What we've been looking at in this passage in Joel, what we looked at in Isaiah 58 last week, there are many other places in Scripture that back up this whole idea. We could spend a year studying passages that deal with this whole idea. I'm serious. We could. But I thank you, God, I'm not going to do that. unless God leads me to. You know, sometimes God will call a pastor to keep preaching something because the people aren't acting on what they hear. That's the truth. But I think we're going to move on now. Next week. All right. I think I've said all I wanted to say from that passage. How about it? Ready to live a life of repentance? We're called to live a life of repentance. And when God calls you to fast, you ready to fast? Give up some media, give up some food, give up, you know, whatever. He leads. Again, Jensen Franklin. Look him up. Grab his fasting book. Sermons on fasting. You will learn a lot from that man. And it's all very scriptural. I was watching him this morning. I quite often try to catch him. I won't repeat what he said. He said, but he mentioned about looking back at a sermon he did when he was a young preacher. I laughed so hard I about had tears running down my face. Did you see that? Oh boy. Okay. Anyway, let's stand together. Huh? Okay, I'll tell you the rest. He said he was looking back at some old sermons. And he'd like to do that and see some things that maybe he'd forgotten about or something. Well, he dug out an old sermon that he preached on Rahab. How many of you know who Rahab is? Okay. He said, I was looking at it. Boy, it looked pretty good. There was some good stuff. But he said, then I noticed what I titled it. He said, I didn't have much wisdom when I was a young man. He titled the message,
Happy Hooker.
Oh, yeah, Happy Hooker. I laughed really hard. Because I understand. Some of the titles I gave, some of the messages I preached years ago when I started preaching too, I look back and I'm like, what in the world did I call that message that for? Well, let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for who you are. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness because we do sin and fall short of the glory of God. But also, Lord, we thank you that you don't throw us away. You cry out to us to return to you, and we've heard your voice today. And we pray, Lord God, that we leave this place with a fresh fervor to follow after you with all our hearts. To be willing to fast when you call us to fast, and to pray always, to repent, Lord. I pray that you'll bring us back either Wednesday night or next weekend, whichever be the case. And that, Lord, we just continue to hear your word, study your word, grow in you, and be the people that you created us to be, so that we are ready for the influx of the last great outpouring before your return. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.